Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So the question is, we're 18 days away. We're 18 days away from having...
18 days, oh yeah, my goodness.
From choosing the next leader who will either send our sons and daughters to war or to keep them from war.
Mm-hmm.
Who will make decisions on our tax dollars decreasing, taxes decreasing or taxes increasing. So people say, mm-hmm. Well, taxes are not a biblical issue. Well, that's... Go back and... Okay, that's right. Only 20% are reading.
So you don't read your Bible, but, you don't know.
Yeah. And so if you read your Bible, it's about taxes. Taxes mm-hmm. is about, God said when you choose a king over his form of government, over Samuel, he said he will tax you a lot of money and take your best of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so taxes have always been an issue in regards to, are we going to trust God with him leading us personally and providing for us, and then the government, the original intent of America, is to protect our borders and protect commerce, our ability to trade, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But much more than mm-hmm. that, and now it's into everything. And so people are looking to replace God with government.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was looking at some statistics, and I don't have them in front of me, but it predominantly says this: most of the world, except for America, believes that success is something that just happens. That there's nothing you can do with it. It just like it just happens to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that the government's job is to eliminate any struggle, any difficulty, to just guarantee you a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Most of the world.
Is that like in Europe, too, that's happening?
Everywhere. Right. Everywhere. Now, America is the only unique country in the context of that, because there's only, right now, there's only 30% that are believing that way. Used to be hardly any at all, but now like 30% or so. And we'll get these for you, probably talk to you about them on Monday more. But just understanding that we are making a decision for based on our values about what's valuable to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the unique thing about America was and is that we are government by and for the people. That the government, the leaders, they are us who goes and serves us under us for a period of time. And they mm-hmm. defend the Constitution that we wrote and we uphold from enemies foreign and domestic. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's not about a theocracy. It's not about a dictatorship. It's not about a king. It's somebody we allowed to be there for mm-hmm. 8 years, or depending on how many years. Some people have been there a long time. And right. The longer you're there, all of a sudden government becomes more of a bigger thing. And if we did have term limitations, although you may suffer, you're thinking we're about to lose a good man or a good woman, at least, if a bad thing happens, it will only be there for a short period of time.
Yeah, right.
It won't
right.
stay on, and it forces us to have a dependency on God. And term limits make sense to a people who understands America's by the people. America's government is by the people and for the people. That we are the we are America, different than other countries in the context of that. And so we're choosing for who's going to be the next president of the United States and next governors and Congress, but the presidential races and school boards and across the board. It's amazing. The only thing I could say, as we talked about on Monday, I believe, there's a clear choice being put before us. John, what is the name of that segment that about this? We're on Mount Carmel, and God has put everything before us as a people, and we have a clear choice.
I'll have that for you here in a minute.
But here we are right now. Our values, what's valuable to us? If God is valuable to us, and that God's ways are valuable to us, we're called value-based voters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that every man needs Jesus. We believe that men are flawed. We mm-hmm. also believe that it's not a theocracy in America, that as long as they're abide by the Constitution, which includes the First Amendment, mm-hmm. and they defend it and protect it, then that allows the church. And we want to think about it. We want to be able to vote our values. And one particular way to look at it is to remember that we want to be able to vote for the ones that allow us to do everything God's called us to do and to preach the gospel freely, mm-hmm. to be the church and to preach the gospel freely. It's a right. value base, not somebody that's coming and repressing the church and trying to snuff out the First Amendment or change it or telling you that some other God is God and you got to follow just our God. I mean, that they're coming against that.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's called Party's Over. It's yeah. time to vote values.
Yeah, it's time to vote values. You got to check that out because America's at the point. A clear choice is put before us. And speaking of that, you know, Dr. Avita King, she is being interviewed here. And she has a great understanding of that and understanding about it's about values. It's not about people and it's not about parties. Listen up.
Right, but I think it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, many Christian leaders are campaigning hard this election year, but they're not pushing a specific candidate. Instead, they're supporting values by urging Christian voters to rely on biblical principles when they cast their ballot. Ephraim Graham has that story.
With only weeks until the 2012 presidential election, a familiar name in politics is on a last-minute campaign push.
You talk about the importance of voting.
But Dr. Avita King, niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., is not supporting a specific candidate or party.
The party's over. This is not party time. Mm-hmm. This is serious time because, you know, America needs to be fixed. And there's a desire in my heart to see that. And so I say to people, when you look at a ballot, vote for the absolute best candidate on the ballot.
And for King, that candidate is the one who most reflects biblical principles. That's her message to voters during this Vote His Principles rally.
We can vote our values or we can vote God's principles. And God's principles are just so very clear. And that actually should transcend a political party.
King isn't alone.
They say opposition to same-sex marriage is the same as opposition to interracial marriage. That is an insult to human intelligence. It is a lie. No Christian should support this.
Bishop E.W. Jackson takes his message to black church leaders, challenging them to resist what he calls blind loyalties.
It's not about race. It's about righteousness. It's not about party. It's about principle. It's about voting in a way that will please God. That's what the ultimate goal ought to be.
A guide to achieving that goal can be found in a new book called How Should Christians Vote? Its author is Tony Evans, pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church in Dallas, Texas.
If God is involved in government and God is the author of government and God determines what is good and what is evil, then he should be consulted on all issues.
Before voting, Evans encourages Christian voters to get out a sheet of paper, write down an issue of concern in one column, where Democrats stand in the next column, then where Republicans stand. And finally, what God says about the issue.
You vote for the party, the platform, the candidate, or the policies that closest reflects the values of the kingdom of God.
And Evans is quick to point out, God is neither Democrat nor Republican.
He's the consummate independent because he only votes for himself. And he doesn't ride the backs of donkeys or elephants. So the great tragedy today is that we've reduced him to partisan politics rather than, from a Christian perspective, recognizing he's his own king with his own kingdom, and he makes his judgments based on how consistent people are with his rule.
And Pastor Evans says God's rule should rule how Christians vote.
Nothing wrong with voting values. It's one of the three legitimate influences that can motivate anyone in going into the polls.
Regent University's Dr. Charles Dunn says the bottom line is everyone votes values, whether they vote party loyalty, a specific issue, or candidate.
We all vote values. We vote economic values. We vote social values. We vote religious values.
Ephraim Graham, CBN News.
It's so important to think about that. It was an interview on CBN News with Pat Robinson, but Dr. King, she made it so clear. Tony Evans, and it's about values. It's beautiful. It couldn't be said any better. And we're going to make that available to you on the VFN Torch. But understanding that, then you got to find out what people's values are.
Right.
You can't just say, okay, I want to vote values, and we can say, hey, values is money to me.
No, right. Man.
We're talking about what God says. They said it so well. And And with that, you know, think about, we're going to make available to you on the same post on the VFN Torch, Florida Family Policy Council, that has, and you may find it, it will also lead you to others as well. There's Family Research Council. There's other ones out there that helps you find out how people stand on issues. And what I like about what John Stenberger's done with the Florida Family Policy Council is he's just put down where people stand and ask them questions. You know, where do you stand on this value? Where do you stand on this value? And he publishes them, whatever they said.
Right.
And now we make the choice. We just say, is that my value? Is this not my value? And I like the way they said, make a list of what this person stands for, make a list of what God says about it, and then decide.
Mm-hmm.
And they clumped it together in the context of a party. But, you know, when it gets to local politics, you need to find out and meet the people. Some people attach themselves like Velcro to a party, you know, thinking that because they identify with a party, that they have right value system.
Right.
And
it's not even just our values, too, but it's really what's God's values. You want to take yourself out of the equation. If your values, you may find that your values contradict maybe what the Word of God says. So it's not necessarily voting your values, but you're necessarily voting the way God.
I thought I was saying that. That's true. He's right. Make sure that's exactly what John's saying. That, you know, God says Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's running for office and says he's not the Son of God, despite what anybody else does in your country, voting your value would be, well, I'm not going to vote for that person.
That's right.
He just denied what's valuable to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If he says, you know, that the government needs to control people's lives, and the other one says, you know, people need to submit themselves to God and allow God to lead them, and the government needs to stick to defending the Constitution of the United States, then as a believer, you would say, oh, yeah, that's my value system, and you'd vote the way that would follow God.
Mm-hmm.
If one particular candidate or party says, we don't believe in the sanctity of life, and that at any time a mother chooses to, or a father of a child can abort or kill that child in the womb, and the other one says, I think that life begins at birth. That's a value. God, we value life. God's value is life.
Right.
And he would call that murder. It's innocent blood. And so we would vote for a candidate that values life. So we're talking values, like John says. We're not talking about what's valuable to you, because, you know, if 97% of the church is robbing God, what they're saying is money's valuable. So that's people vote their wallets thinking they're voting their values.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're really voting for is their job and more money to be able to rob, you know, so God could bless them so they could rob God. We're not talking about that at all. And so when I think about what John Stenberger did is that he also looks at the judges. And the judges, most people just go, yes, 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 yes to all these judges. But understand, we have activist judges who are not interpreting the law, but they're actually making law from the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And so he puts down the pros and cons as well on these judges. So you can... That's hard to do. I mean, you got to basically sit before a judge for a long, long period of time to see how he or she rules on issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so he puts down how they ruled on these issues.
Right.
And when you see, you know, one particular judge, for example, here, that how they ruled on abortion, you can see how the judge themselves, you know, ruled on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, minors' right to abortion, The court struck down a law requiring parents to be notified before a minor child can have an abortion. The Florida Supreme Court struck down a law requiring parents to be notified before their child. Understand, they have to notify you before their child takes an aspirin.
Wow.
But these judges I'm about to tell you right now agree with a strike down, that you can strike it down. And so he says, it says there's three judges right here, and they all agree with the decision to strike it down. They agreed with it. So you need to know these three judges just said your child can go abort that baby, kill that baby in their womb, and they don't have to tell you.
Mm.
And these judges did it.
Wow.
And so you can actually look and say, that's a value of mine. First of all, my children are valuable, and I don't want some school nurse deciding what my child's going to have to live with the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As you told them, it was not even a life, and now they have to live with it down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they were stood with that particular decision, so you can find out. That's some good work when you think about it, the different verdicts on how they ruled. And so you can find that, you know, and we'll make that available to you on the VFN Torch, and you can get to it at this particular segment, which can't tell you what it is yet. That maybe a little bit later on we'll tell you what it is. But you can find it today's highlights are on the VFN Torch as well.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding then we're going to have to make, and it's a real, these are long amendments. I don't know about your state, but I know Florida has two legal page size ballots, and you read them and they sound, I mean, you really got to connect all the thoughts. You know, you got to say, okay, hold on to that thought from that sentence, connected to this one, because eventually you're going to be taxed somewhere.
Yeah.
You're going to be bound somewhere, or your freedoms are going to be denied somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he has also is pros and cons for each of those amendments as well to get you thinking. And this is the dilemma with a republic, America. You got to think. You got to get involved in the process.
Right.
If you don't get involved in the process, and that's pretty much what's happened to America, you know, after turning our backs away from God, is that we just say, well, you just do the work for me and you let me know.
Right.
And republics do not work like that. That's called, you need a king or a dictator to do that. And a democracy doesn't even work like that per se, because a democracy is going to, the government are going to, a democratic government, not democracy, a democratic government, they're just going to get 51% of the people to go the way they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, it's real easy, no matter what, to get 51% of the people. That's how Hitler got in place,
mm-hmm.
you know, through a democratic form of government. It never ends well with a democratic form of government. This is a word that the Lord gave me, because you're going to have to make decisions in about 18 days, a few days away. I encourage you to be abiding with God. Make sure your ballot gets in. Vote. Most conservatives, many conservatives, like 33 million conservatives or something, don't even register to vote, something like that. But this is a statement, I believe, is a word of knowledge for me, and maybe it'll help you out. We should vote for those to be in authority, which will give us, our society, let me say this again, we should vote for those to be in authority, which will give us, as a society, the most conducive environment to being able to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, a king can get in power and not even know God, but he can fund the rebuilding of the temple.
Yeah.
In Nehemiah's day, right?
Yep, sure right. did.
And so when you're voting, obviously you're not voting for a leader of your church.
Right.
You know, and you're not voting for the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But you're voting, you want to vote, think about it, and your value is the most free, your value, what's valuable to us as Christians are a form of authority in government that allows us to freely follow Jesus Christ, to preach the kingdom of God, and whatever that is. Don't feel guilty about, you know, making a choice for the best choice in the context of someone getting an authority in your society that's conducive for being able to spread the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter anywhere in the world. Everybody's not going to receive Jesus. Everybody's not going to be a Christian.
Right.
But God will give favor to the church with people, certain people.
Right.
And so think about that in the context of that. At the same time, you know, make it clear that you're not voting for their God.
Right.
Mm.
That America is not a theocracy. And that means, for example, Iran's a theocracy. Even though their president, Ahmadinejad, is a president, he's actually under their
Ayatollah.
And he serves at their leisure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so that's a theocracy. The Muslim Brotherhood, it's a theocracy. They believe that the Quran is Allah. Everybody should be under Allah. That the Quran is the legal system that you should operate by. And so that's a theocracy. You look at Israel. Israel was originally a theocracy. But now it's a democracy, that they have a republic form of government, and but God will bring them back to a theocracy.
Mm-hmm.
And in America, we are a republic form of government, which is a representative form of democracy. The Electoral College is so important. Most don't understand it, but think about it as fair representation. If you have, you know, think... the vice president, Vice President Biden, he comes from Delaware. When you look at Delaware, mm-hmm. Delaware is a state amongst the 50 states, but it's a very small state.
Mm-hmm.
But it sure makes a big boast, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Right.
But and credit cards.
Yeah, and so, yes, exactly. But one small state now is having these exorbitant credit card companies go there and have their, and it's a long story. The so if we did not have the Electoral College, then a small state like Delaware or Rhode Island or something of that nature, which is a state and legitimately fair representation, then they could determine where 90% of the population goes to. But with an Electoral College, you only have so many representatives that come as members of your party into the Electoral College. So if you are coming from a small state, you're only going to have a couple people. And so they've got to have so many electoral votes to be able to win. People say, what does that mean? It means that based on just like your Congress is chosen, based on population, which means that's the most fairest present measure of your representation is Congress. That's why we want things to go to Congress, because there'll be more people from your community who you ask to be leadership there that's going to look at that thing that's coming to your state, and they have to answer directly to the people. You get the Senate. The Senate has two senators from every state. What does that mean? That means Rhode Island has two.
Right.
But it also means California has two.
That's right.
It means Delaware has two. I mean, North Dakota, what, they got a million four people or something like that?
If that's something like that, yeah.
And so they have two senators. But when you have, 14 million in Florida.
Population?
Yeah, something like that. I forget what it is. But think of the difference.
So
they get two senators and you get two senators. Somebody says, why do you want to go to the Congress with it? House of Representatives, because you want a fairer depiction of what's going to go on. You can get over here, and we're having more problems with senators right now because they're trying to they actually passed the health care bill, I believe. I have to check on this, in the Senate first, and then send it to Congress.
It wouldn't surprise me.
And you see where that doesn't work. It should have come out of Congress and gone to the Senate because the people would have represented it more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why it's easier to get something done in the Senate. And I think it's just totally, it's all kind of crazy. So the Electoral College is chosen the same way. Then you have the numbers. John, you can find all the numbers on there. But the I think it's 270 total electoral votes or whatever. But that represents whatever it is. It represents your population.
Mm.
What does that mean? That means Delaware cannot flip this nation with their small population, North Dakota. So North Dakota, for example, that California has more members of the Electoral College than South Dakota has, because there's more people in California than there is in South Dakota. Somebody says, well, do away with the Electoral College. What they're wanting to do away with is a republic, a representative government, because it's based on population.
Right.
So we don't need, 400 people in the state determining what's going on. They need to be properly represented, but they're only part of America. I mean, most of the states are so, I mean, you think about it, the number of abortions that's taken place in America, you could write off 50%. If you took the number of abortions that happened, and for every abortion, you eliminated a citizen in our country, half of our nation would go away. That's how
50 million. 50 million
50
abortions.
Million. But that's half of our well, not half, but,
of the state's population. If you took 50 states, from the smallest all the way up, that would represent 50 million people. Think about it, it's half the country.
Right. And so with that we understand that this Electoral College is a good thing. It prevents people from Rhode Island, for example, from pushing this election any way other than the masses of the people, where the majority of the people would want it to go. When you hear Congress, and we've talked about this, and you go to Original Ten for America, Congress, the idea of Congress is a good thing because it represents the population of your state. So you have representative government. Somebody says, well, we don't have fair representation in Congress. Yes, you do. You just happen to chose a particular state that has lesser population in it, but you have just as much representation as that particular part of the population has in Florida, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want Congress to mull things over. We want them to look at stuff. We want them to come back and answer to us. And they need, and it needs to go through Congress first before it goes to Senate, because that is a greater representation of what's going on. And so when you're talking about the Electoral College, and we'll just make that available to you on the post, all the details on it, they have to get so many, I think it's 270 votes they have to get to the Electoral College to be able to become president.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's 270 representatives from the population in America. It's very, very important. And you'll notice, oh, you only get three. He only gets three electoral votes out of this state. And people go, well, that state means nothing. No, it means exactly the same thing that your state with 20 in it. It's just that many Americans are in that state.
Mm.
So the Americans are being represented by the Electoral College.
Yeah.
Not your state, but in the national elections, Americans are being represented. And if you want a bigger state representation, then go to a bigger state. You're never going to have more in Congress than you have population, unless we change it, which they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're voting, you need to vote for people that have your same value system in Congress, in Senate, in the presidency. Understand that this next president, for example, whoever the next one, will probably appoint two Supreme Court justices. Your governors, your state, and your representatives in your state, your school board, but find out what their values are. When you vote godly values that we're talking about, and the direction of our nation will be determined by this next vote. It's one of the biggest votes I think ever coming up. My concern is where God's people are at this particular time is not necessarily good, but God's very merciful. It's amazing the things that he does. And if he finds somebody who will stand in the gap and say, hey, you know, we will do what's right, then he may relent. He may change his plans.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so it's representative government.
When you think about it, there's 19 the population of Florida is 19 million. They have 27 electoral college votes.
Right.
And then in like Delaware, they have three.
Exactly. And that's important to understand when you're watching these results come in. Understand that's exact representation of the population of Americans, not mm-hmm. South Dakotians or not Floridians, not Californians. It's a national election. That's right. Really cool.
Like California has 55. Obviously, it's a larger state. It has more population.
Right. And so we want to participate. We want to build relationships with our congressmen, our state congressmen, and our federal congressmen, that we actually know what they're doing.
Right.
And read their newsletters, and write them and expect replies. And if you get a general reply, give them a general vote next time.
That's good.
Because they're supposed to answer to you, and they're not having to answer to you. And right now, the Congress needs to answer to all the people that they represent, not just the money interests in that particular district, not just the people that are, getting the most out of their leadership. Every citizen in that particular district is represented by that congressperson.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's okay for you to walk in their office and not be intimidated. It's representative government, and to say, what are you doing?
Right. Mm-hmm. And the population of North Dakota, according to the census, is 683,000 people.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yet they have two in the Senate, as you know, and then you have Florida that has 19 million, a population of 19 million.
Exactly. And so this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. You don't want South Dakota determining 600,000 people determining where 300 million are going to go.
Exactly.
So don't let anybody talk to you and get rid of the Electoral College.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.